Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. I am getting excited about going to the convention. I have a couple of podcast episodes in the can, but I need to get this one out because we need to know the rules for the upcoming convention and a little bit about Robert's Rules of Order and how everything applies here. So this will be my first ever national NALC convention, and I'm definitely excited about it. I'm excited to meet a bunch of cool people. Please feel free to come up and say hello to me. My plan is to put on my Facebook page each day like what I'm going to be wearing so that you can recognize me right away. Hopefully there's name tags. I don't know if there are going to be. But in any case, I want to make myself as available as possible. If you want to come on the podcast, you know, I'll have my podcasting stuff with me. So all that stuff will be at the convention. And if you want to reach me at the convention, just send me a message through Facebook. I accept all messages. You can find my Facebook profile, Alan Gegax, AlanGegax, and send me a message through there or an email through Classes of Mail, although no guarantee, classesofmail@gmail.com, no guarantee that I'll see that as early. So, in anticipation of going to the convention, I read or listened to an audiobook about Robert's Rules of Order. It was like a 4-hour audiobook, and I feel like I have the general idea. But when I went to the CLC planning meeting here in Las Vegas, the Concerned Letter Carriers, they said that the rules for the convention are specific and they don't necessarily directly follow Robert's Rules of Order. And they handed out an old copy of the rules of the convention. And this one is from 2016. So that was 8 years ago. And that's what I have here in my hand. There's the paper. So I went looking for this year's proposed rules, and I can't find them anywhere. I've looked on the NALC website. I looked for the Rules Committee Report, which is what this is, and I can't find it. But the CLC was operating under the assumption that the rules this year should be pretty much the same as the rules every year, and that seems reasonable to me. They would know a lot better than I would, that's for sure. So we're going to go over these rules as we have them and operate under the assumption that the rules will be pretty much the same. And if there are any significant changes, at least you'll have this foundation and then you can incorporate the changes. All right. So here are the proposed rules from 2016 that should be essentially the rules that this convention operates by. 1. The convention shall be in session from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 8 a.m. to noon on Friday, unless otherwise ordered by the convention. So as far as I know, the hours have actually been posted, and so that's fine, that's covered, that's all public. 2. Although I have heard that Renfro may try to close things down early on Friday because he wants to get out of there with his head still intact. So we shall see. 2. If no objection or amendment is made to each rule, and that's referring to these convention rules, it shall be considered adopted by the convention as read seriatim. Seriatim, I had to look that up, is like verbatim, is like when you read things word for word. Seriatim is like as read in a list or one by one. After the last rule has been adopted, the rule shall, upon motion, be adopted en bloc as submitted or amended. So that means that we vote for the whole rules as a packet, and then they all get adopted. It's hard for me to imagine that there will be a lot of difficulty with this, but who knows? I've never been to one. Who knows what people will argue over? 3. None of these rules shall be altered or amended except by a 2/3 affirmation vote of the members present and voting, and such motions shall be treated as the pending questions. All right, so there's a couple things to unpack in here. First, it says such motion shall be treated as the pending question. So when you have a motion under Robert's Rules of Order, you have to address that motion before you move on to other business. So somebody makes a motion that they want to amend question 5 to make it say X, Y, and Z. Then we have to address that before we move on to other business. There are other motions that can be supersede these motions, and we'll talk about those a little bit later. But that's how that works. And then it also says here that they can't be changed or amended except by 2/3 affirmative vote. So in Robert's Rules of Order, generally, standard business is conducted just by simple majority vote. And usually it's just ayes and nays, and it's usually pretty obvious how things are going to go. And there's not much Not much controversy. But if the vote is to take away people's rights, then it has to be a two-thirds majority. And an example of that is the vote to close debate. People are going to want to talk about these amendments, about these proposals, about the motions. People want to talk about these motions and argue in favor, argue against. And we can't just argue back and forth forever. And there are rules in here about limiting that amount of time. But eventually, somebody has to propose that, all right, everybody shut the fuck up. We're going to move on. And in order for that motion to hold, it's got to be approved by a two-thirds majority because you're now disenfranchising people who wanted to speak. So generally, those types of motions require two-thirds vote. Although there are some in here that I would consider a rights denial vote that are only majorities. So we'll get to those as we go on. All right, number four. A motion regularly moved and seconded must be stated by the chair before any action thereon shall be in order and shall be reduced to writing by its mover if required by the chair. So what that means is, hey, I make a motion that we go to lunch at noon and somebody else will have to say, I second that motion. If I make a motion that we skip lunch altogether and nobody seconds it, then we never consider that motion. And we just move on. But if somebody seconds it, now we have to consider that motion. And then the chair, which I assume will be Renfro, but I don't know, he could appoint somebody else as the chair, will then restate the motion so that everybody knows what it is. Okay, Brother Gigax from Branch 2502 has made a motion that we go to lunch at noon. And then we vote on the motion, or people can debate the motion and then we'll vote on the motion. And if there's a complication or if it's not entirely clear, they can ask, hey, put this motion in writing so that we know exactly what it is we're voting on. Because sometimes people get wishy-washy. Sometimes what they're trying to say isn't super clear. And once it's in writing, now it's clear. All right. So again, it shall be reduced to writing by its mover if required by the chair. Five, a member rising to speak shall announce his or her name, branch number, and the city he or she represents. He or she shall be prepared to speak immediately on the pending business. So as I understand it, there's going to be all these microphones laid out, and you go up to a microphone because you want to speak. And we'll get into the microphones a little bit later, but that's the idea. If you're up there, it's because it's time to talk, and you're ready to talk. And so you're going to say, my name is whatever. I'll just do it for myself. Hi, my name is Alan Gigax, Branch 2502, Las Vegas, Nevada. And then I start talking about what I'm going to talk about. As I understand from Robert's rules, the people who are taking the minutes, they're going to record who's speaking and like roughly what's said. There's not necessarily a verbatim transcript, but you know, it'll say that the next person to speak was Alan Gigax out of Branch 2502, Las Vegas, Nevada. So if you're going to speak, say your name, your branch number, and the city, and then boom, get ready, get on to it. Six, members may not speak more than once on any question and not for more than 3 minutes, nor may they yield unused time to another member. All right, so you get 3 minutes to talk and then that's it, you're cut off. So obviously if you're speaking, you wanna try to make sure you make your point before you hit that 3 minutes and you can't get back in line for that same topic. Now under Robert's rules, normally, you can speak twice, but you can't speak the second time until everybody else has had a chance to speak. Well, at a big convention like this, there's no way everybody else is going to get a chance to speak, and so instead you're just limited to once. At your own branch, unless they have special rules, you should be able to allowed to speak a second time on a motion before you've used up your times that you can speak. Right? Part of the idea behind Robert's rules is that they keep the meeting moving. And if given the opportunity, people would just go on and on and on. And so there's rules in Robert's rules to help keep that to a minimum. So again, here, you can only speak once and you're limited to 3 minutes. And then that 3 minutes, like once you're done talking, that's it, it's up. You can't say, oh, I'm gonna give the person behind me the rest of the time. That's not the way we do it. All right, seven, a motion may be withdrawn by its mover and seconder before a vote is taken thereon without objection. no record of same shall be made in the minutes. So I make a motion to skip lunch and just keep on working. Somebody seconds it. And then I can see that the room is pretty firmly against it. And if we're going to keep having debate, you know, there might be a line of 100 people wanting to speak against the motion and like 3 people wanting to speak for the motion. The writing's on the wall. I can just withdraw my motion. And as long as the person who seconded it is also okay with withdrawing it, great. It's withdrawn, stricken from the record like it never happened. We can just move on. Thank goodness. Next, number 8. A question containing 2 or more direct propositions shall be divided upon demand of any delegate. So sometimes you'll make a motion or someone might make a motion and it can be complicated or it can contain multiple propositions. Like I would make a motion that we're going to go to lunch at noon and that we'll be back at 1:30. And you could vote on that whole motion as is. Or somebody can say, like, look, I like the idea of going to lunch at noon, but an hour and a half for lunch, it seems awfully long because we got business to attend to. So I move to separate these 2 propositions. We'll have 1 vote on when we're going to leave for lunch and another vote on when we're going to come back. So that's how that would work. And any delegate can demand that. 9. Any member using objectionable language shall be called to order by the chair. And if the member persists, he or she shall have his or her time on the pending question revoked and his or her remarks stricken from the record. Guys, be cool. All right, we're still all union brothers and sisters, and there's no need for that. You can make your point without, you know, without saying objectionable language. 10. The chair must state every question properly put to the convention. Let me read that again. The chair must state every question properly put to the convention, and before putting any question to a vote, shall say, are you ready for the question? After waiting a reasonable time, he or she shall put the question to a vote, provided that there be no objection to a resolution and the recommendation of the committee thereon. The chair shall declare the resolution adopted by unanimous consent, saying no objections, agreed to. So this is a way to kind of streamline the process of accepting a resolution. Are you ready to vote? Yes. Are there any objections? No. Okay, then we've agreed and we move on. 11. Unless a now, when this happens, before I move on to 11, this is one of the ways that people who know Robert's rules can steamroll people. And this happened at my branch at our last general meeting, because there was a rebuke of our local president for he had removed a steward, an alternate steward from her position, and the alternate steward was complaining about it, wanted the branch to put her back. And when we got into discussion about it, things were not going the president's way. And so he was like, hey, does anybody want to call for the question? And when that happens, okay, I call for the question, somebody else seconds it, and then we vote, yay or nay. It should have been a 2/3 vote, which I don't think it was. But that effectively ends debate. And most of the people in the room have no idea what Robert's Rules of Order is. And so that wound up being used to just short circuit this debate that was not going the president's way, in the hopes that, like, well, if we just stop it here. I mean, I can't speak to what his motivation is. But I do know that in fact, it did short circuit the debate. And then once people realize, like, whoa, we're just going to vote right now, people wanted to speak more. And they got hosed out of it, right? Which is part of the reason something like that needs a 2/3 vote. So ultimately, it wound up going the way of the complainant, the steward, and it was a pretty sturdy rebuke of the president. It was probably like 3-1 in favor of putting her back in her position. So that was cool. But it still leaves a bad taste in my mouth when you're trying to just shut people down. And so that can happen here when somebody, what they say, calls for the question. And some of the Robert's Rule stuff I've been reading, they say that instead of saying call for the question, you should say, are you ready to end debate? Because that makes it more clear, like, that's what's happening, is that everybody has to shut the fuck up. That now it's time to vote. If you got something else to say, you're going to have to sit on it. All right, moving on. 11. unless a demand is made by a member for the reading thereof, the whereas clauses of all resolutions and amendments before the convention shall not be read. Guys, please don't demand the way. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's somewhere it would be cool to do that. I don't know. But all these resolutions have all this preamble that it says, like, whereas I'm pretty hungry right now, and whereas the Chick-fil-A lunch menu has already started, and whereas there's usually a pretty long line, I propose that we move lunch up to 11:30. And, you know, all those whereases, you don't need that. Just like right now, it just kind of got a little tedious. And so instead, just read the proposal. It's proposed that lunch be moved to 11:30. All right. So anyway, that's all these proposals that came up in advance for this convention. That's how they're going to be read. It'll just say what the proposal is. 12. On opening day of the convention, the national president shall appoint an election commissioner and a board of tellers, any one of whom shall be eligible to serve as election commissioner pro tem. Tellers are people who count votes. So a lot of votes will just be decided by yay and nay, or aye and nay, or aye and no. What are the rules? It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you know, by voice. But sometimes we need to count. And so tellers are the ones who count. Next, during, is it? Oh, 12 continues. During the convention, the board A, this is the board of election officials, right? An election commissioner and a board of tellers. So this is the board of tellers. During the convention, the board A shall serve as official tellers on all division votes, reporting their counts to the election commissioner, who in turn shall submit the total aye and nay, oh, there it is, aye and nay, votes to the presiding officer. B, in conjunction with the Office of the National Secretary Treasurer, and in accordance with procedures outlined elsewhere in these rules, shall conduct all roll call votes ordered by the convention. So we'll get into these type of votes a little bit later. A vote by division is generally, I don't know how they'll do it at the convention space, because it seems, with this many people, I'm not sure how that works. But generally, a vote by division is like, hey, if you say aye, go over to this side of the room. And if you say nay, go over to that side of the room, and then we'll see which crowd is bigger. And so that's something that the tellers would help to conduct. And then a roll call vote is exactly what it sounds like, where they go through every single person, or if your branch is going to vote as a block, they just go by branch and take the vote. Man, dude, if that happens, it may happen at this convention. I don't know how often that happens. I've never been to a convention before, so I guess if it's your first time, we're going to find out together. All right, 13. If the result of a voice vote, ayes and nays, as announced by the chair, is doubted, the chair shall, upon request of any member, order a division by rising vote. Oh, you know, I've already read this. I should know that. Yeah, so what they're going to do is have people, if you vote aye, stand. And then they count that up, and then you sit down, and if you vote nay, stand. All right, there you go. So I guess that's why you need tellers, so that they can actually count people. It's not as easy to see as like when you divide a room in half, but to the point, it's not practical when you have a room this big with this many people in it. So there you go. It's by standing, a vote by division. 14, if the result of a division vote is doubted, a member may request a teller vote. When a teller vote is ordered, the chair will announce the order, and the expiration of 5 minutes will call. And at the expiration of 5 minutes, will call for the vote. The doors of the auditorium shall be closed while the vote is being taken, during which time nobody shall be allowed to enter or leave, and only the votes of those delegates there and then present shall be counted. The sergeant at arms shall take appropriate steps to assure that only qualified delegates are in the immediate meeting area. That will not be me. I did not sign up for this in time to be a delegate, so I will be a guest. 15. While a question is pending, the roll shall be called upon any question upon demand of any member, seconded by another member. So the roll, that's the roll call vote, where you're going to go person by person or branch by branch. When such a demand is made, it shall be immediately acted upon by the chair by requesting an aye or nay vote of the delegates in attendance to determine if a majority favors such roll call. Dude, I'd probably vote nay on that. Unless, I mean, if it's tight, you know, sometimes it just feels like, well, who knows how long that takes for? I don't know. This is just on at face value. I'm judging this. 16, if a roll call is ordered, it shall be conducted in the following manner. A, the National Secretary-Treasurer shall make available to the Election Commissioner and Board of Tellers all registration records as compiled and submitted by the Credential Committee to the Convention. In connection with the roll call vote, there shall be no appeal to the final report of the Credential Committee if such report has previously been approved by the Convention. That'll probably be something that happens early on is, you know, we'll vote to approve the report of the Credential Committee. Like, okay, we're locked in. These are all the people who are approved as delegates. B, the chair will announce the order at the expiration of 5 minutes. At the expiration of 5 minutes, we'll call for the vote. The doors of the auditorium shall be closed while the voting is taken, during which time nobody shall be allowed to enter or leave, and only the votes of those delegates there and present shall be counted. The sergeant-at-arms shall take appropriate steps to assure that only qualified delegates are in the immediate meeting area. So it'll be kicking me out. C. The election commissioner or his or her designee shall call the roll in the following manner. First, national officers by position, beginning with the president. Secondly, delegates at large alphabetically by states, and thirdly, states in alphabetical order and alphabetically by branches within the state, and when appropriate, alphabetically by delegates within the branches. Can you imagine how many people that's going to be? How long a roll call vote would take? The branch or delegate called to vote shall be clearly identified by name, branch number, city, and state, together with the number of votes allowed. At the conclusion of said vote, an accurate announcement of the vote shall be clearly furnished the convention. So the number of votes allowed is like if your branch is voting as a block and you have 16 delegates, then we say we're voting 16 votes aye. At least that's my presumption from reading this. No branch or delegate whose vote has thus been officially recorded shall be recognized thereafter for the purpose of altering said vote in any manner until such time as the roll call has been completed. At that time, a branch or delegate may change the previously recorded vote up to the time the chair officially announces the roll call is concluded. D. A branch, upon being called and not ready to vote, be ready to vote. A branch, upon being called and not ready to vote, shall be allowed to make a single request to pass, and said branch will go to the bottom of the list. At the conclusion of the initial balloting, branches that have passed will be called alphabetically by states and alphabetically by city within their state. No branch shall be allowed more than one request to pass. So if you're in like Alabama or Alaska, be ready. Be ready to vote early. Maybe you're in Alberta, Alaska. You're going to be voting real early if we do this roll call vote. All right, E. A branch or delegate may not yield to any other branch or delegates in lieu of passing. So you can't say like, hey, I'm not ready to vote yet, but let the branch from Tennessee vote. You can't do that. F, the delegates may cast their vote either individually or under a unit rule in conformity with Article 4, Section 4 of the National Constitution. So that would be like, hey, our whole branch votes, G, any delegate called upon and not ready to vote shall go to the bottom of the list. And I think we should boo that person or hiss. H, the results of a roll call vote shall be examined and counted by the Board of Tellers and submitted by the Election Commissioner to the presiding officer. The chair shall immediately announce the aye and nay votes to the convention. I, unless otherwise specifically provided elsewhere in these rules or in the Constitution, a simple majority of eligible votes shall decide the question. So, again, that's typical with Robert's rules. Most things are just decided by majority. J, if a roll call is ordered and is in progress, no motion to rescind such roll call shall be entertained or debate permitted. A motion to rescind shall require a majority vote of delegates present and voting. All right, I stumbled on that one a little bit, but basically, once we're doing a roll call, we're doing the roll call. And if somebody wants to change it, they'll have to make a motion when the vote is no longer in progress, and that would have to pass. K, there shall be no appeal of any kind from the officially announced results of a roll call vote. It's reasonable. 17, on the third day of the convention, nomination of delegates to the AFL-CIO shall take place. Nomination shall be from the floor and must be made by an accredited delegate. All right, so I'm going to make the executive decision to skip over the nominating and voting process for AFL-CIO delegates. If this is something that you're interested in, becoming one of these delegates, then you probably already know the rules or you can look them up. All right, that's 17 and 18. Moving on, 19. All amendments to or affecting the Constitution shall have been submitted in conformity with Article 19, Section 2 of the National Constitution. So that means that you had to submit them in advance by going through whatever process. Like the Bill to Fighting NALC submitted their open bargaining resolutions, and then those get submitted in advance to the convention in accordance with whatever it's Article 19, Section 2 of the Constitution. Proposed amendments shall be the order of business during business sessions on the second day, Tuesday, of the convention, and shall remain so until all proposed amendments are disposed of. So that's it. Tuesday, we're voting on these amendments to our national constitution, the rules that govern ourselves, the way we treat each other, the way our officers are to behave, things like that. 20. When a proposed amendment to the Constitution has been disapproved by the reporting committee, at least one delegate sponsoring the same shall be allowed the floor if requested. I'm not sure what this is. The reporting committee, it must be some official body that looks at these amendments in advance and says like, oh no, we don't want to do that. This amendment is for jerks. But I don't know. If that comes up, I guess I'll find out like what that actually is. And, you know, normally I say like, hey, if you know what that is, send me an email. But by the time you hear this, the convention will be already started. I'm recording this on what, Thursday night. So I'm planning on putting this out Sunday morning and we'll be well on our way. All right. It's an odd thing. My screen, this has happened before. The screen has gone dark on my laptop and I don't really know how to turn it back on without messing up the recording. So let's see. Is my computer even still on? Yeah, it looks like it's still on. Well, I'm going to keep recording and hope that this all works. All right. 21. The business of the NALC Mutual Benefit Association and the NALC Health Benefits Plan shall be prepared and presented to the convention by two committees appointed by the national president. So there you go. They're going to talk about mutual benefit like life insurance and the NALC Health Benefit Plan. 22. None but elected delegates and authorized personnel shall be permitted on the convention floor during business sessions. So yeah, you have to be like approved to be in there when we're doing the voting and such. 23, all motions calling for the expenditure of money shall be reduced to writing, and they, together with all resolution and amendments referring to same, shall be referred to the National Board of Trustees and reported by the body to the convention. Every such motion or resolution shall require a two-thirds affirmative vote by those present and voting for adoption. So that means that anything that they do that's going to require the expenditure of money, hey, we want to spend $100,000 on X, we have to approve that by two-thirds. And still no screen. The screen has gone dark for very brief periods in the past, but it's gone dark for a while now. All right, moving on. 24. Delegates may address the convention at microphones designated for, against, information, and privilege. So the microphone will have this placard over it. Well, it says, the chair will recognize privilege before information and information before for or against. The chair will alternate between for and against signs. The precedence of motions will be in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order. The signs of the microphones are arranged so that the chair sees on the large sign on top of the microphone the same sign as the person at the microphone sees at eye level. They are 4. The use of the 4 sign is limited to those who wish to speak in favor of a pending motion. It may not be used for any other reason. Against, The use of the against sign is limited to those who wish to speak in opposition to a pending motion. It may not be used for any other reason. Information. The use of the information sign is limited to those who wish to address a question to or through the chair. This may be a technical parliamentary inquiry or a traditional point of information. It must be a question. Seeking information. It may not be used by a speaker wishing to offer general advice or to provide information or to argue for or against a motion. Such questions are not debatable and do not result in votes. Privilege. The privilege sign is used by delegates wishing to make a privileged motion under Robert's Rules of Order and for actions not covered under the for, against, or information signs. A few traditional examples of privileged motions are A. Question of privilege, sometimes called personal privilege. For example, the sound system is not working. Questions of privilege are generally restricted to urgent matters of immediate importance and take precedence over main motions. They are not debatable. No vote. B. Point of order. Used to raise a question as to whether there has been a breach of the rules. They must be raised promptly, are non-debatable, and have no vote. C. Call the question. A non-debatable call for a vote on a pending motion. Now again, remember, when somebody calls for the question, that means that debate is going to end and we're done talking. So be careful when they call for the question. You may not want to vote for that yet if you want more people to be able to talk. D, motion to amend. So this one is debatable and you can debate, you know, whether or not you're going to amend the motion, and then you're going to vote on whether to accept that amendment, or you're going to debate on what the amendment is and then vote to accept it. And finally, 25, Robert's Rules of Order, as revised, shall govern all matters or procedures that are not provided for in the foregoing rules or by the Constitution of the National Association of Letter Carriers. And thus ends the rules. So, presumably, that's the way the convention will be run, and we shall see what differences, if any, there are from this proposed rules to the proposed rules we see at the convention here in Boston. It is definitely disappointing to me that I was not able to find these rules printed now. You know, I'd like to look at them in advance. So hopefully these are going to be handed out at some point during the convention. They kind of have to be if these are the rules that we're all going to be working from. All right, so that's all I have for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. And now I got to figure out how to turn my screen back on and whether or not this thing was still recording. So take it easy, guys. I will see some of you at the convention. Dude.